It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Close to the coast, too close for comfort, that is. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Hurricane Dorian clobbering the coast of Carolina right now. Wind and rain lashing the historic city of Charleston. Mayor John Tekleberg.
Today is Dorian Day in Charleston.
Reporter Ali Velshi says streets have turned to rivers.
The water is saturated. The land is saturated. There's no place for this water to go.
That is the scene in Charleston right now. Meteorologist Bill Karens tracking the storm.
They are going to take it on the chin from South Carolina all the way out through eastern North Carolina today and tonight.
Dorian continues to skirt the coast as a Cat 2 hurricane now. Downgraded some, but still dangerous. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
We will be ready, and we will not underestimate the damage this storm can cause.
In North Myrtle Beach, vacationer Michael Gordon is batting down the hatches.
Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. I'm preparing for the worst.
The Carolinas could see up to an 8-foot storm surge. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster.
It is the water that kills people. It is the water that is the real danger, and it is clear that we are going to have a lot of water.
200,000 people in the Carolinas without power. They could be without power for several more days. Landfall could happen late tonight or perhaps early tomorrow or perhaps not at all. Exactly where, we don't know. Most are pointing to the Outer Banks as a possible landfall. Meantime, in the Bahamas.
We need help. We need help.
The death toll from Dorian has now risen to past 20.
My island of Abaco is finished. Everything is gone. No banks, no stores. No, nothing.
The Christian humanitarian group World Hope International on the ground providing round-the-clock relief in the aftermath of the storm.
Right now we have approximately 25 to 30 volunteers on the ground in the Bahamas.
That's President John Lyon. He tells Family Life that volunteers are providing food, water, and medicine to islanders wrecked by Dorian. They're also assisting in debris removal.
Just keep everybody in the Bahamas in your prayers. Keep everybody in the path of the storm in your prayers.
Lyon's group's teamed up with several churches and providing emergency hurricane relief to the battered Bahamas. Other news today, that deadly dive boat fire off the coast of California, it may have been caused by a cell phone charging station. Surviving crew members say the blaze broke out in the galley near where cell phones and cameras had been plugged in to charge overnight. The fire killed 34 people when the boat went up in flames back on Labor Day. Other news today, the NFL's 100th season kicks off tonight with a good old-fashioned gridiron grudge match in Chicago. It's the Bears against the Packers. Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
The oldest rivalry in the game. It was always big Chicago against little Green Bay, and we've held our own over the years.
Nothing like it in sports. The NFC North rivals have played nearly 200 games dating back to the year 1921. Kickoff set for around 8:30 on NBC. New study today shows there is a downside to going meat-free. The British Medical Journal says vegans and vegetarians have a higher risk of stroke than do meat eaters. The findings, based on 18 years of research involving some 48,000 people in Britain. A new book out on the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. Kavanaugh, now an associate justice on the U.S. Supreme Court, faced a contentious hearing 1 year ago this week amid unsubstantiated rumors of sexual abuse. The book is called Search and Destroy. It asks the following question of those who sought to bring down Kavanaugh.
Was Christine Blasey Ford working with all of those organized forces that had been trying to cancel Kavanaugh's nomination from the very beginning, and really even before he got picked?
That is writer Ryan Lovelace. He is author of Search and Destroy.
Really what I've been trying to do is walk readers through step by step the organized forces that were out there even before Kavanaugh's nomination that rose up and tried to cancel this nomination. People on the left have said, that Justice Gorsuch sits in a stolen seat that belonged to Merrick Garland, President Obama's nominee, and now they're trying to put an asterisk next to Justice Kavanaugh's name.
Lovelace says the way that Kavanaugh was treated during the confirmation hearing galvanized Republicans, and he thinks it saved the U.S. Senate for Republicans just weeks before the 2018 midterms. 11 more women have come forward claiming they were sexually abused by opera singer Placido Domingo. Melinda McLean works for the L.A. Opera.
I saw him grab young women and just kiss them, but they didn't ask for it, and he probably didn't know their names, and it wasn't appropriate.
In a statement, Spanish-born opera singer calls the allegations riddled with inconsistencies, he says. Police today warning about the dangers of dating apps. This after a woman met a trucker on a dating website. She was kidnapped in Pennsylvania, held captive for 6 weeks until she was able to escape. Captain Kate Newcomb with the Broome County, New York Sheriff's Office.
If there's anything that kind of makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, or it seems suspicious or kind of strange behavior, I think that you should listen to your intuition.
The cop has the following advice for those who are pursuing romance online.
You shouldn't let your location be known. Turn off the setting for location. Another one is not to put too much personal information on a dating app.
Police encourage dating app users, do not give out your phone number. U.S. automakers promising to add technology to new vehicles in order to prevent children from dying in hot cars. It happens way too much in this country. In fact, 40 children died just this year from being left alone in hot cars. The Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers says this technology will be standard in most vehicles by the year 2025. The technology reminds drivers to check the back seat after shutting the vehicle off. A British study today looks at the genetics of left-handedness.
Scientists at Oxford University have found genetic instructions in human DNA that are linked to being left-handed. About 1 in 10 of us is left-handed. The researchers found that the left and right hemispheres of the brains of lefties are better connected and more coordinated in regions involved in language, suggesting those born left-handed may have inherited better verbal skills. The study also found a slightly higher risk of schizophrenia and slightly lower risk of Parkinson's.
Very interesting, correspondent Vicky Barker. Still to come on the Noon Report, Buffalo's bishop is staying put. Vaping issues out of Pennsylvania and the peanut butter falcon. Why it's worth seeing. We'll check it out after a first check of weather with Kevin Williams.
A rather serene scene weather-wise in our region for now as we continue to track Hurricane Dorian off the southeast coast. I'll be back with our forecast heading into the weekend coming up. I'll look for you in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Some of the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania today. Buffalo's embattled Bishop Richard Malone says he will not bow to pressure to resign.
The bishop addressed the controversy surrounding a new secret audio recording that many thought would be the final nail in the coffin for the embattled Catholic leader. Instead, Bishop Malone called a press conference in the afternoon where he announced he's staying put.
And I also don't feel that it's time for me to move on. As a woman said to me coming out of church last month, please don't think you have to be the lightning rod for 50 to 60 years of bad behavior by priests that came before you.
For several months now, Bishop Malone has faced growing calls to step down over his handling of the child sex abuse scandal in Western New York. Bill Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bill. Western New York Congressman Brian Higgins among the growing chorus of concerned citizens who think it's time for the bishop to go.
This bishop has demonstrated that he is incapable of correcting the problem within the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo, and on behalf of the people in Buffalo and West New York, he should resign. And somebody should be brought in here that can really clean house and do what is necessary to restore the faith in the diocesan leadership. It can't be done under Bishop Malone.
James Vluzak is an attorney representing some of the clergy abuse victims.
He is casting himself as the shepherd of this diocese, and so he has to stay with the sheep. He said that he has to bloom where he's planted. We're not seeing the beauty of whatever is blooming at this point.
The bishop says his supporters outweigh his detractors, and he's not going anywhere. As the kids head back to school, they will will have extra eyes watching out for them. New York State Police will be increasing patrols to crack down on dangerous drivers, especially those that pass stopped school buses illegally. First-time offenders face a fine of up to $400 and 5 points on their license. Pennsylvania health officials investigating 17 lung disease cases. All of them are linked to vaping.
All of them have been very ill, requiring hospitalization.
Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine.
The exact reasons for these vaping-associated lung injury cases throughout the country is not known.
The Commonwealth's top doc says the jury's still out on the safety of e-cigs.
We don't know that vaping is safe. And we certainly don't think that vaping is safe for young people.
A 19-year-old from Delaware County on life support today due to a mysterious lung ailment linked to vaping. Starting September 15th, Pennsylvania charter schools could be forced to pay a new fee. It's to resolve disputes whenever a student transfers from a public school to a charter school. The fee is part of sweeping charter school reforms enacted by Governor Wolf. New York Republicans continue to call out Governor Cuomo for his plan to force drivers to replace old license plates. That story new at noon from Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
One state senator is even promising to hold hearings on the governor's plan, possibly before the end of the year. Governor Cuomo announced the plate fees last month and said New Yorkers could vote on a new license plate design. Starting next April, drivers who have plates older than 10 years will need to pay $25 for a new one. And if they want to keep the same plate number, it'll be an extra $20. Many in the GOP call the governor's plan nothing more than a money grab by the state of New York. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. New York's green light law takes effect soon. It grants driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns plans to fight in court.
This law goes into effect on December 14th, and we have people who are possibly could face federal criminal liability. So this is a very serious matter. We have people in this country who are here illegally. They violated the law, but also it's putting the clerks in a very untenable position.
New York joins 14 other states in granting driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Pennsylvania is getting $70 million to continue the fight against opioid addiction. Nationwide, opioid overdose deaths are down for the first time in 20 years. President Trump at the White House yesterday.
Nothing is more important than defeating the opioid and addiction crisis. So many problems are caused by this problem. My administration is determined to use every resource at our disposal to smash the grip of addiction.
Most of the federal dollars going to Pennsylvania will be used for treatment and prevention efforts. Some will go toward real-time tracking of opioid overdoses. Syracuse residents being urged to have their voices heard when it comes to lead levels in their homes. 90% of the homes in the Salt City were built before a federal lead paint ban in 1978. Since then, children have been getting sick from lead exposure. A series of town hall meetings have been scheduled, the first of which will be held at the Carrier Theater in Syracuse September 24th. Somebody's vandalized the Elkland Little League in Pennsylvania's northern tier. League president Jesse Schoonover says she can't believe somebody would do this. This is the third time in 4 months that it's happened.
It's a tiny little town. We're just a tiny little town right on the other side of the New York border. It's very small. We have one stoplight. It's little.
The Elkland Little League will have to fundraise now in order to replace the stolen and damaged property.
We don't necessarily think it's the same people because the Elkland PD was able to figure out who broke into the concession stand, and they made some arrests on that, which is actually kind of sad because then that means that there's more than one group of people around who are willing to vandalize Little League property.
A cash register stolen along with some food and a shed that housed maintenance equipment for the Elkland, Pennsylvania Little League. The University of Albany is the latest college to open a food pantry on campus, a food pantry for students. Faculty and staff can take advantage of it as well. Food pantries are becoming more commonplace on colleges across the country. Students routinely are skipping meals in order to stretch their food budget. 2,000 students at the University of Albany come from homes that live on less than $25,000 a year. It's 14 past the hour. The 2-minute drill is next in sports with Sonny Delphiette.
Yeah, we started flushing metals under the lights tonight. Serena Williams
Williams battles Elena Svetolina in the first women's semifinal. The number 13 seed Belinda Bencic takes on 15-seeded Canadian Bianca Andreescu in the other match at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Andreescu at 19, the first teenage semifinalist at the U.S. Open since 2009. Major League Baseball, Pete Alonso.
Alonso scorches it to left, and that is launched out of here.
His Major League Baseball leading 45th homer helped the Mets double up the Nationals 8-4.
I feel really, really fortunate. I'm really happy with how I've been performing, and this year's not over yet.
Mets 4.5 out of the National League wild card. In the Bronx, Aaron Judge smacked a 2-run homer. Gleyber Torres added a solo shot. Yanks beat the Rangers 4-1. The Yanks have won 8 of their last 10. It was the Michael Lorenzen show in Cincinnati. Picked up a win in relief. Played center in the ninth, and
high drive into left center by Michael Lorenzen. Yes, sir!
Hit a 2-run homer in the Reds' 8-5 win against the Phillies, becoming the first player since Babe Ruth in 1921 to win, homer, and play the field in the same game. Manager David Bell.
I've underestimated his ability. I mean, it's really incredible. I've never seen anything like it.
The Phillies fall 3 out of the National League wild card. In Cleveland, it was the Oscar Mercado show, going 3-for-4 with an RBI and this catch in the ninth inning with bases loaded.
Back. Oh, my goodness, what a catch! Oscar Mercado, like Superman, nobody scores on the play.
Indians hold off the White Sox 8-6 to hold on to the second wild card in the American League. Mookie Betts homer twice as the Red Sox beat the Twins 6-2. Pirates with the walk-off win against the Marlins with 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth, 6-5 win. And the NFL kicks off its 100th season, Bears-Packers tonight. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiez.
All right. Thank you very much, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, San Francisco's just declared the NRA a terror group. We'll get into that. Free cash in California, and those little green army men have some competition now.
A new movie with a weird title is worth seeing for more than the laughs and the touching moments. It's an example of how stories with a moral ought to be told. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Imagine Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn, only with a crab pot thief and a young man with Down syndrome instead of Tom and Huck. And instead of the mighty Mississippi, imagine the estuaries of North Carolina. And instead of skipping school to run away, imagine running away to attend school. Well, wrestling school. That's the plot of a new indie film directed by Tyler Nilsen and Michael Schwartz and starring no less than Shia LaBeouf and Dakota Johnson. The Peanut Butter Falcon is not only beautifully shot and set, its message is badly needed in a culture like ours. The film stars newcomer Zach Gotsagan, who plays the role of a 22-year-old man with Down syndrome who escapes a nursing home in order to chase his dream of becoming a professional wrestler named, you guessed it, the Peanut Butter Falcon. Along the way, he gets mixed up with Shia LaBeouf's character, a guy on the run from a pair of revenge-hungry fishermen. Against all odds, these two fugitives forge a brotherly bond and eventually come to understand that their journey is more of a pilgrimage than an escape. Dakota Johnson's character is Eleanor, an educated caregiver bent on chasing Zach down and returning him to state supervision. When she finally catches up with him and his new friend, she's surprised to learn that Zach's not only happy, he's a pretty good fisherman. And so, just as Zach forces Tyler to question his identity as a bad guy, he also forces Eleanor to question her well-meaning but stifling overly clinical approach to Zach's condition, one that leads her to miss something pretty important, Zach himself. So ultimately, she joins in this pilgrimage to find the Saltwater Rednecks Wrestling School, and through hijinks and scrapes, they learn that human beings can't be defined by their guilty consciences, or their college degrees, or even their chromosomal disorders. Now, that's a lot to get across in a single movie, which the Peanut Butter Falcon does beautifully, without being in-your-face or preachy. The story and the characters bring the message, while everything else, from the camera work to the directing to the music, creates the space necessary for the message to be heard. At the same time, the reality of life with disability is brought to life here, too. Zach Gotsagan not only plays a title character who has Down syndrome, he really does have Down syndrome. When his character faces rejection and ridicule and is relegated to a facility, he's portraying what is, for far too many people, reality. And it's this down-to-earth portrayal that makes the movie worth seeing. as is the story behind the film. In a compelling interview on a website called The Playlist, the writer-directors describe how they met and worked with Zach on a short film made for a camp with people with disabilities. Zach became a friend and told them that he wanted to be a movie star. Knowing how hard it is for anyone to make it in Hollywood, much less someone with disabilities, they tried to dissuade him. And so Zach simply replied, "Cool, sounds like we got to do it together. You guys can write and direct, and I can be the movie star." And so they wrote The Peanut Butter Falcon to make Zach a movie star. Now, it's cool enough that such a crazy idea really worked, but the fact that this film was produced on such a tiny budget offers a lesson that all Hollywood, and especially Christian filmmakers, should embrace. That budget constraints are no excuse for telling bad stories or churning out bad art. Now, I'll warn you that the film includes salty language, including a word that would have earned an R rating once upon a time, so it's definitely not a movie for younger kids. Still, in a culture like ours, in which the overwhelming majority of children diagnosed with Down syndrome in the womb are targeted for abortion, a film that affirms the value we all share as image bearers and the needs we all share as people who are created for community is especially timely and especially important. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Your up-to-date weather report next with Kevin.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life weather forecast for the Twin Tiers. Mostly sunshine this afternoon, the high temperature 70. Tonight, mainly clear, but some wispy clouds around, the low 45 to 50. Clouds will thicken up during the day tomorrow with a high temperature of 65 to 70. There'll be the slight chance of a shower tomorrow night. Then, looking ahead to Saturday, morning cloud cover breaking for some sunshine, the Saturday high temperature near 70.
All right, Kevin, doing great job at the Weather Center as always. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price, and here's what's happening this Thursday afternoon, the fifth day of September. Still an offshore hurricane, but dangerous Dorian's making a real mess of things along the Atlantic coast.
We're kind of in the thick of the storm right now, but I'm so proud of our citizens. They're mostly staying inside and staying put, and they need to continue to do so.
That is the mayor of Charleston, South Carolina, which has been taking a beating all day long from the storm. The Cat 2 hurricane will continue to lash the Carolina coast for several more hours. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
It will start to move quickly, but not before it makes a really close brush with or makes landfall either the South Carolina coast or the North Carolina coast.
Dorian could make landfall late tonight or early tomorrow, somewhere near the Outer Banks. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
This storm is strong and it's relentless. We must be ready.
Flooding and power outages already being reported. 200,000 without power in South Carolina. Meantime, in the Bahamas, the death toll is rising as emergency supplies are rushed there.
We've been able to get them in with private jets to Nassau. And then from Nassau, we've been getting volunteer yachts to take them into the affected northern islands.
That's John Lyon with World Hope International, which has more than two dozen volunteers on the ground in the Bahamas right now, providing emergency relief to the hurricane victims.
Never ever seen anything like this.
This was just so far beyond anyone's imagination.
Shock and horror.
Everything you had, everything's gone, everything.
While waiting to evacuate the island of Treasure Cay, locals told us their stories of surviving Hurricane Dorian.
The wind sounded like a huge tornado coming.
The house had broken up around us when we cracked the door open and there was nothing left.
The airport is also serving as a meeting place for relatives and co-workers.
I'm just happy to see them.
When you see what's left of your home, what do you think?
We got to get out of here. We can't live here.
Just about everyone evacuated from a disaster zone is airlifted to the capital of Nassau, which was not damaged by Dorian.
That's correspondent David Begno in the Bahamas today. The city of San Francisco has just declared the National Rifle Association a domestic terror group.
A resolution approved unanimously this week was introduced in July after a mass shooting at the Gilroy Garlic Festival. Supervisor Catherine Stefani, who introduced the resolution, said in a statement, "The NRA exists to spread pro-gun propaganda and put weapons in the hands of those who would harm and terrorize us. Nobody," she says, "has done more to fan the flames of gun violence than the NRA." The NRA has called the passage of the resolution nothing but a publicity stunt.
Elisa Z reporting morning, Stockton, California, experimenting with free cash, or universal income as it's known. Since February, 125 people in Stockton have been getting $500 a month on a debit card from a pilot program that's financed by the co-founder of Facebook. Two of the 20 Democratic presidential candidates have endorsed this idea of universal income. Both of them hail from California. Senator Kamala Harris and tech tycoon Andrew Yang. Well, this might sound refreshing, but a new study today finds people who drink two or more sugary sodas a day have a higher risk of death than those who limit their pop intake to one or two cans a month. Researchers found regular soda consumption was associated with a greater risk of all causes of death. 26 minutes past the hour. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, focus on the family's Glenn Stanton. Many people are now equating LGBTQ issues with race and civil rights, even though looking at the 1964 Civil Rights Act that protected people from discrimination, that was based on something African Americans, for example, cannot control. We're born this way. Is that what you would say, that it's a case where we get no say in the matter?
Yeah. I would say that one of the most problematic things in looking at gay and lesbian politics today is this equating it with race and ethnicity, to say that just like African American individuals or Hispanic individuals, they have basic rights. We have basic rights based on our sexuality. These two things are completely different things. I mean, race is an inherent thing. It's what you are. Our sexuality is not who we are. Research doesn't even know where it comes from, in the sense of, you know, if you're to examine a body, you can tell whether this is a black individual, Hispanic individual. You can determine that. You cannot determine a person's sexuality by just looking at or examining their body. These are two very different things. And the other very nasty thing, and I use that word nasty quite intentionally, is to say that, well, we don't think that people should be able to engage in any kind of sex with any group of people is the same as saying American citizens can't drink out of a particular water fountain, or can't get a meal at a particular lunch counter, or can't ride anywhere on the bus that they want. To say that those two things, one was absolutely heinous, nasty, ugly, racist. The other is an issue of morality. The two of them are not anywhere the same. And it's interesting that one of the largest populations in America that is most opposed to homosexual and LGBT things is the African American community themselves. They know that race and sexuality are two very, very different things, as different as they can be.
Wow. And that leads me to ask if you feel like some Christians from historically oppressed people groups feel pressure because of the culture today to defend the seemingly oppressed LGBT community for fear of being considered hypocritical.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what makes this so vile. From the gay politics perspective is, you know what, if you don't support us, you are exactly like KKK members. You're exactly like Bull Connor in Birmingham. You are the lowest type of person that there can be. And so Christians who don't think about these things think, well, gosh, civil rights are important. Everybody should have civil rights. So are you for the civil rights of gay and lesbian individuals? You know what? I am. I mean, most of us all are. But the question is, what is it that we're specifically speaking about? What is it that we're talking about? And there has been so much manipulation of emotions, of how people see themselves in terms of Am I a bad person if I don't say yes to everything that the gay community is looking for? That has been terribly manipulative. And Christians need to think well about these things. We need to think smartly about these things. That, yes, every human being is somebody with dignity, with value, but not everything that every human being does has value and dignity.
That's Glenn Stanton. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
All right, Tracy, thank you very much. Of course, Glenn Stanton with Focus on the Family, the name of the program, Faith Under Fire, airs Thursdays during the Noon Report or online anytime, fln.org/news.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As Hurricane Dorian continues to lash the coast of the Carolinas, we have no major impact expected from that storm here, although those of you in eastern Pennsylvania can probably see the high cirrus shield on the outer edges of that storm circulation. But again, its effect will be on the coast, ultimately maybe a player in Atlantic Canada by the weekend. Here, it's a pleasant afternoon ahead with a good deal of sunshine, high temperatures near just over 70. Tonight starts with clear skies, some clouds on the increase though, low temps mostly upper 40s to the middle 50s, some cloud cover tomorrow. A high temperature in the 60s and low 70s, chance of a late day shower for some, and some sunshine for the weekend with moderate temperatures, highs in the upper 60s to the middle 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. At the Weather Center, finally at noon, those Little Green Army men have some competition now in the form of Little Green Army Women. A Scranton-based toy maker says the popular plastic toys are expanding to include female figurines.
Pennsylvania-based toy company BMC Toys will launch a new line of plastic army women just in time for Christmas. The new product line will feature female soldiers in four different poses and will be offered in packs of 24 figures. BMC's owner, Jeff Immel, says he's been toying with the idea for several years, but it was a letter from a retired servicewoman asking for female toy soldiers for her granddaughters that jump-started his work on the project.
Male or female, still hurt when you step on them, especially that pointy end. Gets me all the time. That's Phil Hewlett reporting. And that's the world we live in. Thursday, the 5th of September. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.